Welcome to Bullies, Wimps, and Poverty Pimps, a bi-weekly podcast with me, Dr. Kish Kumi Price.
Hello, and welcome back to Bullies, Wimps, and Poverty Pimps. I'm Dr. Kish Kumi Price, and I am joined by a special guest today, Dr. Destiny Livers. She is a tremendous advocate in the space of educational leadership and diversity, equity, and inclusion. And she also just happens to be one of my good friends and mentees. And I'm excited to have this discussion with her around what her research is about and how it relates to professional bullying. Now, what I will share with you all is that this is a series podcast. So I highly recommend that if you haven't caught the first two episodes, that you go back so that you can catch up with us and understand what we're talking about today. So to get into it, Dr. Livers, your line of research is focused on diversity, equity, and inclusion, and specifically looking at leaders and their efforts in driving incremental changes in a challenging role. Can you break that down for us and share a little bit about the themes and discoveries that came out of your research?
As a DEI professional, some of the things that emerged from my research are things that we already know are challenges. As of now, we have states trying to dismantle DEI programs, roles, and initiatives. And so some of those themes that my participants found to be the greatest challenges are ultimately the role is just challenging in itself. And so it's not easy work. And oftentimes to move that needle forward, our work gets pushed back a little bit further each time. And so these challenges are ultimately due to societal challenges, the lack of buy-in and support, and racial battle fatigue because the role is tiring. Another thing that emerged is although the role is challenging, incremental challenges are made due to DEI leaders working to combat organizational and systemic barriers. This is done through leaders working through education and training, programmatic efforts, building relationships. But what I found interesting is that they described it as marginal success, which could also be synonymous with minimal. So this goes back to the needle being pushed forward, but only to be in a place where it's going to be pushed backward. Finally, another theme that was emerged is leader support is essential for the needle to actually move forward. If there's not any leader support, that needle's not going to move forward. DEI initiatives won't be successful.
Wow. So when you were meeting with participants in your research process, did you hear from any of them about experiencing professional bullying at all? Like, was that something that came up?
Ultimately, they didn't describe it as professional bullying, but once you get into what bullying is and what professional bullying can be, such as feigning ignorance, a lot of them describe their leaders as leaders who ultimately are feigners of ignorance. They don't necessarily describe it as bullying, but once I started to do my research, I started to realize that they were being professional bullied as well. Maybe they don't know it, or maybe that's just not the way they described it. They described it as the lack of support. But ultimately, they were being bullied. People know what they're doing when they are not supporting DEI efforts.
Can you share, can you break that down for us, that phrase of feigning ignorance?
Yes. So ultimately, when someone is a feigner of ignorance or is feigning ignorance, they are allowing people to be ignorant. They are allowing people to act as if they don't understand what they are doing. But we live in a world of technology. So I like to say in that ignorance is no longer bliss. I know back in the day, you may have not known everything, but we live in technology and we have the world at our hands. These leaders who feign ignorance, they are dismantling DEI in ways that they know, that some people or the people that are not necessarily educated won't question. So when we say feeding ignorance, it's ultimately they are supporting people not knowing.
Right, right. Which is dangerous. I mean, when you think about how that can be coupled with professional bullying, mm-hmm. How do you think that plays into the whole scheme of things? Like, if you're already dealing with these challenges that you just identified, and is also coupled with this professional bullying and maybe even your supervisors that are feeding ignorance, how does that play out?
It could result in a lack of motivation. So if you're someone who is working toward advancing DEI work, and you have leaders that are ultimately using passive and active resistance so that your work mm-hmm. does not move forward, you can feel unmotivated. It also can affect your mental health and your overall well-being, because you feel like mm-hmm. you have to defend yourself all the time. And so not only are you defending yourself, but you're defending the work that you are so passionate about doing, the work that is needed to be done. But can you even really focus on that work if you're focused on, like, keeping your head above water?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Ultimately, those are the results of professional bullying within the DEI realm, and really just mm-hmm. any of work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad you said that, because we don't want to downplay what this is. So sometimes when you have labels or names or terms that you're using, people first have to try to understand what it is that you're talking about. So that's why we said, you know, really go back to those other episodes to hear about, you know, what professional bullying is, what it looks like. And in the last episode, we talked about Dr. Bonnie Bailey and her experience with professional bullying that ultimately resulted in her suicide. And I think that this whole concept that you just shared with us around feigning ignorance is so pervasive,
mm-hmm.
not just definitely in the diversity, equity, and inclusion space, when you're doing that work, when you are, you know, that's your job. But it also happens in everyday life, especially to minoritized populations, and in a way in which is seen as if we don't know what you're talking about, or we don't understand. And I'm wondering about that process, you know, how, if you can speak to your personal experience with that in the workplace, because I know you have personal experience around professional bullying. What was that like for you?
Ooh, okay. That's a long question, because I thought about all of the roles that I've held, I've realized that professional bullying started in my very first professional role. So that was when I came straight out of college and first year teacher. My very first few years of teaching, I experienced a bully. This person would literally talk about me to my mentors, would talk about me to the admin staff. And so, I mean, they would even go as far as to come in my room, slam my door, spread rumors about me. And so they were believable, though. So they had the belief. Mm-hmm. So everybody believed them, because one, they were at the school longer than I was. And then two, I can come off a bit feisty. So everything mm-hmm. that comes from my mouth seems more of like a defense mechanism, but it's really passion. It's what
passion,
I am.
Yeah.
And so that was the very first bully I experienced in a professional role. Now, I like to think that I'm not bullyable, which is why people aren't successful. So although I experienced it, that ultimately, it didn't really affect me in my role. I did start to like shut down And so I no longer spoke in certain meetings, or I just wasn't as active in my role the way I was when I first started. So maybe that's the way that it affected me. I just was, mm-hmm. I was kind of like, if you don't want to hear what I have to say, then I'm just not going to say it.
So yeah,
that's
yeah.
the attitude that I took on from that experience. And I feel like I wasn't protected by leadership.
Now, in that particular situation, did you feel like you could share with leadership what was going on, or did you feel like you couldn't? Because I know you just mentioned the other person was more seniored and believable. So
I feel like I could, but okay. So you know how you have the family, like your family, but it's toxic. Like you can say stuff,
right?
But it's not. And really we kind of sweep it under the rug in our families. So that's what it was. It was like, oh, we're family. We'll just sweep this under the rug. Oh, just get over it.
Okay.
Scripture was thrown at me, or, you know, certain things were yes. just thrown at me to like sweep it under the rug. Oh, that's just it was like the toxic family. Because I did feel like I could say things and I did feel like I could speak up, but it wasn't mm-hmm. ever really addressed.
I see. Okay. And as a result of that, did it play a part in your desire to remain in the role, or?
It did.
Was it just kind of in the background?
It did. I mean, it was in the background for a while. And then I just at that point wanted to leave. So I just, mm-hmm. I started to, okay, the grass has to be greener on the other side. This is what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. And one of my right. mentors was just like, I just need you to go. I really need you to go. I'm tired of hearing you talk about all the things that are happening. So just leave. And mm-hmm. that's what I did eventually.
You know, well, I wonder too about that, because I think a lot of people may be questioning, if you've never experienced this, exactly how it plays out. You know, we tend to use the term, you know, bullies and then victims of bullying, but it's really targets, right? Like, you're not, you know, you may feel victimized in the process, but bullies are targeting people. And in the last episode, we talked about the types of folks that bullies tend to target, and it's usually more competent, likable people, because there's something within the bully that envies the target, right? And so the other side of this is what I think, I guess I will say that, I know personally I experienced this, is that you're not able to be your best self.
Mm-mm.
Because as much as you're trying to bring all of you into a space or a role, it's really difficult to remain at 100% mm-hmm. when you have this draining that's happening, and it can impact you in a way that it does, you know, kind of drive you out, because you're like aware of the fact that you're not at 100, and you're like, why am I here if I can't be all of me? You know, why am I here if I have to deal with this? And there, you see, it feels like there's no way out because, as you said, mm-hmm. you didn't feel like you had the support from leadership. So
you become unproductive. You become unproductive is what.
Yes. Yes.
Felt like, or not even just unproductive. You feel like, I know at one point I felt like, I was saying all the things, and then I would have a friend tell me, you're not saying, it's not what you're saying, it's that you're the person saying it.
Mm.
And so mm-hmm. I just kind of got to the point where if you don't care what I have to say, then why am I here? I can take my talents elsewhere.
Exactly. Exactly. And the other piece of that, I wonder, you know, did you feel like, I know you said you didn't have support from leadership, but did you feel like you had support from other colleagues?
A few. But again, this person was so good at getting people to believe the image that they put up
mm-hmm.
that really not many people knew that it was going on. admin knew, people closest to me knew, but I was like, other people may have not known.
And that's not, that's not rare. I mean, that's typically what happens with professional bullies, is that they're believable. They are able to convince people of their narrative. They put forth a facade that's very different than who they really are in interactions and engagement as well. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I just remember I started to reflect like at the years later. I just remember this person taking like myself and other like fresh new teachers out to eat, and some of the things that they were saying, they basically told us, and manipulation is a way of bullying, but they would say, if this gets back, we know we can't trust you.
Oh, wow.
So, and I didn't, like, at the time when it happened, we were, like, just excited to be, you know, teachers at this point. So at the time, I didn't really know what that was, or I didn't even really look into it. But as I started to reflect years later, that was definitely a way of bullying. Because manipulation, that was straight manipulation. Like, yeah. That it started very early. I just didn't even know.
Wow. And as you, you know, I know you said you, it ultimately drove you out of the role and somewhat profession. What, when you were looking for like the grass, the greener grass on the other side, did you find that? Did you find a safe space that was, you know, bully professional bullying free, or did you encounter more?
No. Once I left that role, I went to another role within the same organization. And I wasn't necessarily bullied in that role. This was during COVID. So everything was just weird during COVID. The role in which I held then, it was an instructional technology coach role. And it became more of like IT. So I didn't enjoy it.
I see.
Which is why I left that role. But then when the next role I held, yeah, the grass was greener, but that was because of my direct supervisor. Professional bullying is definitely happening within the organization.
Okay. And in that capacity, what was that experience like?
It was great. Until my direct supervisor left. I was learning so many things from an amazing person. But once my direct supervisor was gone, everything went downhill. That's when the professional bullying started within my next realm of professional bullying.
Got it. Okay. And in that capacity, did you have any indicators, like in that, since you had already experienced it before in a previous role, were you almost like instantly aware that it was professional bullying, or did it take time for you to get to a place to say, yeah?
I wouldn't say I was instantly aware. I just thought that's who that person was. That person's just nasty.
Okay.
That's ultimately what I thought. Like, okay, this is, and then this person held the most power. So that also plays a part in like how much you can say in or do. So because they held the power within the organization, you kind of just let it happen. And I wouldn't even say that I let it happen, because I let it happen for probably 2.5 seconds and I was gone. This person was also one, the power that they hold, the status that they hold. So they got me back. It's like they reeled me back in and like, please come back. And so I went back and it was worse. It was very much so worse when I went back. That's when I realized that, oh yes, this is absolute bullying. And I think I could see it a little bit better because it was happening to people under me.
Interesting. So you saw it more in other people's experiences. You were able to label it better that way than your own direct experiences.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
Once it started to happen to the people under me, and I realized, like, again, that was my direct supervisor. I was the next person in that department. I was the next person in leadership. So it was my direct supervisor, then myself, and then the people up under us. My very first conversation with my direct supervisor, I recorded, because it was between he and I and then somebody that was up under us. And the way that he talked to that person, I knew it wasn't right from day one, like as soon as the conversation started. So I started recording it. And that's when I started to realize, well, I had learned to start documenting things from my previous experiences. But that's when I realized, oh, yeah, this is bullying. And then once it was brought up and once it was addressed with leadership, it was pretty much a joke. It was not even pretty much a joke. It was a joke. Our feelings were not validated at all.
And how did that result for you in, you know, how you felt about that after you shared with leadership but didn't get any support?
So if I wasn't going to share with leadership because I already knew that they didn't care, but they called myself and another person and pretty much was like, are y'all just defiant, or is this person really that bad? And I'm thinking, this person is really that bad. Well, at the end of the conversation, would you mind sharing this on a call with everybody? And of course, so I'm thinking, we're thinking everything, okay, everything's coming to light. We're going to find a solution. All of these things. And no, I mean, that was probably one of the most humiliating moments, because you put me on this call to say everything that's going on and how we're feeling and what we're experiencing. And then you allow the person bullying us to call our feelings bullshit.
Wow. Like, literally saying that.
Mm-hmm. Your feelings are bullshit is what they said. And so we got quiet. The other person and I got quiet. We didn't really have much to say after that. After that, we knew, like I said, I don't really even think this conversation is productive. And so our leader was like, well, I think it is because I'm the leader. Okay, well, I don't feel like this is productive. And the other person was like, I'm just going to continue to do my work and move on. Well, prior to all this conversation, I knew I wasn't going to be there long. I don't mind if the workplace is toxic, leaving. So I don't know if that was just like God's timing, because that night I got a call about a job offer. Two job offers, actually. Wow. So I had a choice. And so when I called, I tried to give this person like the courtesy of, hey, that call today, I couldn't deal with it. And I'm not going to be subjected to somebody talking to me like they're crazy. I told her, I said, my grandmother doesn't talk to me like that. So a leader won't either. And so I called, can you just stay? What if I promise that you don't have to work with this person? Just empty promises, which again goes back to withholding support. That goes back to the whole feeding ignorance aspect of it, or the whole aspect of gas. It was really kind of like gaslighting. You knew that we weren't going to be moved, or we were still gonna have to work with this person. So I said no, absolutely not, and I left.
Wow. In that experience, were you in a place, because I'm hearing from, you know, hearing the things that you're sharing, and it sounds very much like a a person who's seeking resolve and wanting things to improve and get better and thinking that you're going through the proper channels to make that happen, mm-hmm. only for it not to be resolved and for you to feel even worse than you did previously, because now everything's exposed, but nothing's done about it. Mm-hmm. So what, I mean, did it in that circumstance, did you feel like it was kind of between a rock and a hard place? Like, I have to leave at this point? Or did you feel like it was possible to stay?
No, I did not feel like it was possible to stay. And the reason I say that is because, yes, I have my doctorate. Yes, I'm a professional. Yes, like all of these things are true. But in the same token, I'm still a human. And so there's mm-hmm. only so much that I can take before any person snaps. And I didn't want to snap, whether that mm-hmm. happened verbally. However, mm-hmm. like you never know what like your meltdown might look like. Mm-hmm. So that could have been health-wise, mentally, emotionally. I didn't want that mm-hmm. that to happen. And so I ultimately chose myself. And by this point of my life, I had already like, I had already grew to know that I'm going to always choose myself over a job mm-hmm. or over people. So mm-hmm. I knew by then, yeah, no, if it was early on in my career, I probably would have felt different. But mm-hmm. because at this point I'm like, no, I know what I bring to the table. No,
That's powerful. I mean, to say that you chose you, you know, and that you were aware that it was a choice, but that is the part that we have to be aware of, is that professional bullying requires you to have to choose yourself, right, over the work that you want to do. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sure you felt like the work was work that you enjoyed and was fulfilling, but the bully created a toxic environment that didn't allow you to enjoy your work and put you in a place where you felt like you had to choose yourself and preserve yourself and your sanity over the work that you wanted to do, which is, you know, talk a little bit about that.
It's unfortunate because that is a battle that I think a lot of people face, choosing the work mm-hmm. that they are passionate about and want to do. And so it resulted in me going and doing work that I ultimately didn't want to do. But then I was miserable mm-hmm. and I only stayed at the road for 3 months. So those type of like, then you pick and choose. And now it's like you're back to doing the work that you want to do. But it's like, oh, OK, like everything is nothing's perfect. So it's like, am I going to do what I want to do and put up with all the nonsense, or am mm-hmm. I going to do what I don't want to do and pretty much like just be here working?
Yeah.
Be a worker.
And I mean, I commend you for making that choice, because it is difficult. And sometimes I think from an identity standpoint, professionally, once you've grown in your career and professional experience, you get to a place where sometimes it's difficult to separate the two, your work identity from who you are. And so when you're being attacked in your workspace, it's an attack on you. It's an attack on your career. It's attack on your profession, your name, your reputation. And it just can really take its toll. And especially when you're in an organization that doesn't have healthy support mm-hmm. for these situations where, you know, you have an HR department that actually can respond appropriately, that you can document things and have, you know, create this place of support for all of this. It typically doesn't exist. And in a lot of, definitely not in a lot of nonprofit, small nonprofit organizations and even some of the larger ones. So my question is, you know, how do you believe, if you were talking to young professionals, like your younger self, not knowing that this was on the other side for you, what, you know, what tips would you give to young professionals entering the workforce about how to prepare for professional bullying, or even how to screen for it even?
So, and it's funny because I know we talked about the last role that I held and what I went through there, but then the next role that I was so excited to take on was great at first. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times something is like, things are masked. I do think our smaller organizations that operate more of like a family are able to do that. And so mm-hmm. just a little bit, like, I felt like I was starting to be professional bullied in that role too, because mm-hmm. at one point my direct supervisor gave me this list of things that I quote unquote was not doing that was a part of my role. Mind you, I had been in this role for a whole year. So mm-hmm. my thing is, why didn't you train me on it? And then it was, okay, you give it to me in November and say, I need you to do it in January. But we're mm-hmm. off a whole week in January and a whole week in December. So when are you going to train me on these things? Which is mm-hmm. also another way of bullying people, because you're giving them unrealistic expectations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that, but it was great. It was, everything was amazing. And I think things started to go left when I started to, again, speak up for people that were also being bullied. Mm-hmm. And a lot of organizations don't like for people to question their motives. Mm-hmm. they don't like for people to actually speak out, and mm-hmm. I'm that person. So mm-hmm. I feel like I become a problem sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if I were talking to my younger self, your first piece of advice you would think would be, oh, go tell the management team or go report it to HR. But in a lot of my experiences, my management team and HR were the bullies.
Mm-hmm.
On the bully. Mm-hmm. So it was ultimately mm-hmm. culture. And so, mm-hmm. So for example, like in that very first role, I didn't feel like I had the leader support. So going to management, mm-hmm. going to HR isn't always the answer. Now, if I were talking to my younger self, and management and HR are the people that you can report to, or if you do have that trust or you do believe that you can go to them, then that would be like my very first piece of advice, is one mm-hmm. you can trust. Mm-hmm. And then that goes along with the next piece of advice, is finding community. Find people that you can trust, because you're going to need it for your mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not only just your mental health, but just like your overall well-being.
Mm-hmm.
Documentation. I would say document everything. Keep everything documented. That's super important, because then it can corroborate the story or the action.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, being that I am a person that is vocal and was raised on advocacy, I can, like I said earlier, come off as feisty. I call it passion. So mm-hmm. we all call it different things. And I'm always stand up for what's right. But mm-hmm. I also had to learn how to create boundaries. And so that mm-hmm. is where it came to knowing that, like, I'm worth more than this. I'm not going to stay here. Like, I can't do that mm-hmm. to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell my staff now, advocate for yourself. It's okay to advocate for yourself. Mm-hmm. You would be surprised how many times I've had to tell my staff to advocate for themselves at this in this very role that I hold right now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So if I had to talk to my younger self, those are some of the things that I would tell myself. And I don't really feel like I have the answer all the way, because I'm mm-hmm. still sometimes very shocked when I hear about some of the things that people experience, or now witnessing some of the things that people experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think it's one of those things where you just have to keep I'm learning all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might not have the answer, but just always be solution focused.
That's good. That's really good. And I think, you know, out of those tips that you shared, something that really, I think, penetrated for me was when you said establish a community. And mm-hmm. I think sometimes, because work, depending on what your line of work is, can be consuming, and you feel like your community is only at work, you know, like that the people you work with are your community. You might be able to find people there, but you might not. And it's okay if you don't. but it is important to have that community, even if they are outside of the workplace. And to be honest, those are some of the safer connections that you can have, because sometimes it's difficult to know who has been tainted by the bully in a way that they, you know, are you being vulnerable with someone who's actually sharing your information in a way to sabotage or try to push out, right? Because that really is what the bully's intent is to, right, to push you out of the way in whatever capacity, whether it's out of the role, out of their space, their, you know what I mean? So I think that was, for me, something that is huge. And then the creating boundaries and advocating mm-hmm. for yourself, like that is, all of these nuggets are, I think, highly applicable. And I just appreciate you sharing your journey and dropping these nuggets for everybody. Do you have any closing thoughts about this?
It's funny because I guess another little tip or nugget, or just like one thing to remember, is don't lose yourself in the process. Because this the very last case of professional bullying that I've experienced really sent me into a state of depression. And it made me start to feel like maybe I'm not who I think I am, or maybe I'm not really as smart as I think I am. Maybe I'm not as productive as I think I am, because it was life changing. I'll say that it was life changing. And so I started to become who I never want to be, because I'm all about advocating for people. I'm all about empowering people. I live by the whole quote of aspire to inspire. Like, that's ultimately right. What I feel like my purpose in life is to do, is to inspire other people. Mm-hmm. But I know at one point then, like, me feeling like I had to defend myself, I became a bully. And I was willing to make someone uncomfortable every chance I got, because I felt like they violated me.
Yeah.
Or they violated the people that I love. And so, I mean, it was kind of like, okay, you bullied me in the workplace, or you're bullying me in the workplace because you have the power. But what about in these streets? Do you have the power in the streets? So I found myself taking more time than needed to bully or to make someone feel uncomfortable. And so I say that to say is, like, don't lose sight of what you are meant to do on this earth because of other people and what they lack. Because I felt myself. I really felt myself. Like, I mean, there were things that I would, like, think about in my head. Like, okay, this person should be here at this time. Or maybe I'm going just because they're going to be there. Like, I would literally those things out in my head, and no person gets you to that point. But they did, and I'm still working on myself when it comes to, because it's a very life-changing event. I don't think people realize how it really affects your mental health, your emotional health. I literally went through a state of depression. I didn't want to talk to anybody for a long time. There were days that I woke up crying, just questioning myself, my professional self, my just everyday self. Like, I was literally questioning who I was. And if I didn't have a strong sense of who I was in a strong community around me, I don't think that I think it could have been worse. I think I could have made decisions that ultimately hurt me in the end, because at some point somebody was like, Destiny, you have got to stop. You can't bully people. Like, but it was hurt people hurt people. We know that. Right. So, it's just don't lose sight of who you are, because someone else doesn't determine your worth.
Your
work doesn't determine your worth. I know my doctoral program, she used to tell us that our research didn't determine our worth. So just using that in different ways and being able to comprehend that and really put that into my life helped me make the decisions that I ultimately make every day.
Yeah, listen, that is so good. And I hope that it helps our listeners, whether you are someone who's been targeted through professional bullying or you know someone who is, or if this is foreign to you and you don't have any idea what we're talking about, we are grateful that you can no longer feign ignorance, or we hope that you won't, and will be aware and can try to be an advocate for others and come alongside others. Because as Dr. Lavis just shared here about the community and having that support, that is key. And just as we shared in the last episode that the professional bully likes to build a case and get advocates for their case, the same thing is happening with that target. They need advocates. So you get to choose. And we talk about this, right? This is why I'm doing this podcast, is because we have to call this stuff out. Mm-hmm. And then we have to hold you accountable, listeners, for where you stand. You know, are you a bully? Are you a wimp? Are you a poverty pimp? Mm-hmm. Are you somebody who's just, because the wimps are the folks who are aware mm-hmm. that somebody's being bullied and they're doing nothing about it. And it's time to stop that, because everybody's going to be held accountable for what they do on this earth. That's my belief. I don't know what everybody else believes. If you think you're about to die and come back as a butterfly, cool. But in my belief, you will be held accountable for what you do here. And I just want to close, I think, by saying the other side of this is, I hope that if you have been targeted like us, that you will not become a cynic or pessimistic about people in general, because that's the other mm-hmm. side of this, is that it can also cause you to just not want to mess with anybody. Like, I remember when my most recent situation with professional bullying, I was just like, you know what? I don't want to deal with adults at all. I'm back to working with kids. That's where I started. Kids are, you know what I mean? You know what you're getting with kids. Those are my people. And I just say that because a lot of times you being targeted, as we said at the beginning of this episode and then the last one, you're being targeted for a reason. You're being targeted because of who you are, what you have in you. And that bully sees your potential. They see what you're able to accomplish, and they are threatened by who you are.
Yeah, they start.
So don't allow. Yeah.
They start questioning your potentials. They start questioning everything. Oh, you're not qualified. They're not qualified. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, ultimately, people are ego driven. And
exactly.
They're all around us. I would say even go as far as to say we're ego driven, because we, you know, everybody wants to do good. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to be recognized for their work in some type of way. But some people are so ego driven that they'll do whatever, including hurting people, to rise. That's a mm-hmm. whole different space of being like that. That's just different. So, but I think we have to learn that abuse is unacceptable, and you can't mm-hmm. be what you call a wimp and just mm-hmm. Allow it to happen, because you're enabling
actions. There we go. That enabling is key, because it's just as toxic. Like you are assisting that person in doing what they're doing. So you can't pretend that you're not a part of the abuse, because you are. You're a participant. So I really do hope and pray that if you're listening, and as we said, you know, if you've been targeted, that you find hope in what we've shared. Hopefully you can create some boundaries, find a safe space, find your people, and don't allow anybody to treat you less than who you are, right? Like, know your worth. And that's what Dr. Lavis was just sharing. Keep that in front of you. And I do believe there's a way to change the narrative and the perspective that you have about who you are and what you're about. Because if you are targeted, then you know they're targeting me for a reason. So don't forget that, right? Don't forget that part. Like, that is happening intentionally because of who you are. So continue to show up, continue to show them who you are, and don't allow them to drive you into a space where that's not even who you are. I'm not about to get on your level. It's taking too much energy to go that low. Mm-hmm. So I will stay where I am. And in that space, I will be able to have freedom of thought. Like I will be able to know how to move, how mm-hmm. to increase my power in what I'm doing. And that's ultimately what they want to keep you from doing anyway. Mm-hmm. So it'll serve its purpose in multiple ways. So I'm just, listen, this has been like therapy for real. So I appreciate you sharing with us today, Destiny. And I hope that this has encouraged folks. And we look forward to connecting with you all on the next round. And I just would like to close with the reminder that I share every time we close, which is be bold, be courageous, be unpimped. And we'll see you next time. Mm-hmm.